Welcome back to The Look and Sound of Leadership, an ongoing series of executive coaching tips designed to help you be perceived in the workplace the way you want to be perceived. I'm Tom Henschel, your executive coach, and today we're talking about the disruptive executive. This is part two of a two-part podcast. Part one was broadcast in June 2012. I had been coaching Marina, a very disruptive executive, for several months when her boss, Shauna, called asking for a little help. I wasn't officially coaching Shauna, but because Marina was so difficult to manage, I had talked with her frequently. "I think I blew it yesterday," she told me. "I stopped by Marina's office to do the drip, drip, drip feedback you suggested, and she just flipped out. She started screaming that she was getting results our department hadn't seen in years, and that if I wasn't going to support her, then she was going to file a complaint against me. I just lost it, Tom. I started yelling back at her. I finally caught myself and I walked out, but everyone heard us. I was a mess for an hour afterwards. It was terrible. I haven't yelled at anyone like that since I was a teenager. I just couldn't hold it together." Shauna had experienced one of the traits common to disruptive executives. They create a great deal of emotional upset in the people around them. Emotions are as contagious as any virus, but without the incubation period. When we get infected, we suddenly find ourselves behaving in ways we know are inappropriate, but we feel helpless to stop. It's exactly what happened to Shauna. I had spent time teaching Shauna tools for dealing with disruptors, and she'd been an apt student. The five tools I taught her were covered in last month's podcast. But she had just found out that all those tools and her rational self vanished in a heartbeat when her emotions flared up. I assured Shauna that when dealing with disruptive executives, getting hijacked by your emotions isn't at all unusual. To which she replied, "Well, that may be true, but I don't ever want it to happen again." What follows in the rest of this podcast are four tools to help you manage yourself when you're dealing with a disruptor. The first three tools are very specific and very tactical. The fourth is a powerful concept that can rescue you when an emotional hijacking is in progress. Okay, here are the first of the four tools. Number one, rehearse. Giving feedback to a disruptive executive creates a potentially volatile situation that makes you particularly vulnerable to emotional hijacking. Rehearsal gives you the time to think through your points, craft language that might be less inflammatory, and prepare yourself for the tension that's inherent in the situation. Now, I want to be clear. The objective for your rehearsal is to build familiarity with your thoughts and your feelings. You are not rehearsing so you can control the disruptor better. That's a false goal. You can't control the disruptor, or anyone else for that matter. The real goal of your rehearsal is to gain confidence and competence in your own skills. Soldiers, surgeons, emergency responders, astronauts, pilots, they all rehearse their high-risk tasks because rehearsal guarantees improved performance and because failure has such a high risk. The same is true for you. Failure to manage yourself with a disruptor has a very high cost. Just ask Shauna. Okay, that's number one, rehearse. Here's number two. Own your feedback as your own. Disruptors often derail feedback by debating it. Imagine you're Marina's boss. During a staff meeting, you saw her speak harshly about a coworker's report. The coworker, let's call her Anna, was obviously upset by Marina's comment. Now, it would be appropriate for you, the boss, to give Marina that feedback. But if you speak for Anna, "Gee, Marina, she was very upset by your comment about her report," you may end up in a debate about how upset Anna really was or whether she was upset at all. To avoid those sorts of debates, simply own the feedback as your own. For example, "Marina, I was watching Anna when you made that comment about her report. She appeared very upset." If Marina wants to debate any part of this, Just continue owning your experience. Marina, your comments sounded harsh to me. If I'd been Anna, I would have been upset. Those kinds of comments won't help you achieve the goal we've been discussing. And then, at that point, you would reference your theme, which was the first of the five goals in part one of this podcast. When you make the feedback about yourself and your experience, it becomes irrefutable. So that's number two. Own your feedback as your own. Number three, stay on point. Disruptive executives often create diversions. They blame others, or they change the subject, or they bring up irrelevant incidents from the past. When that happens, don't take the bait, and don't let the tactic upset you. Just bring the topic back to whatever you want to talk about. So let's imagine you're talking with Marina about the harsh comment she made to Anna, and she replies, "Well, that's no different than what Scott said to me last week. You didn't go slam him, did you?" Don't take the bait. Calmly stay on point. You say, "Marina, right now we're only discussing the comment you made to Anna. I want you to know that I thought the comment was harsh, and I'd like those comments to stop. That's all." Now, suppose she replies, "Okay, fine. Then I won't say anything at all anymore." Don't take the bait. Calmly stay on point. You say, "Marina, I'm only talking about that one comment to Anna. I thought it was harsh, and I'd like those kind of comments to stop. I'm not asking that you stop participating. That's not what I'm asking for at all." So that's tool number three. Don't take the bait. Stay on point. By the way, if those sort of strategic, targeted communication tools are helpful for you, another podcast that you might listen to is Three Little Phrases with Big Impact. That podcast was originally broadcast in December 2010. Okay, here comes the fourth tool. Number four, inoculate yourself. Emotions are contagious. They jump from one person to another in a second. That's documented fact. But self-awareness and self-management are protection against infection. The image I'm about to give you is a powerful tool for protecting yourself against emotional hijacking. I originally learned it from a psychologist who was leading an emotionally charged intervention, and I've been using it ever since. The intervention was to be an intense psychodrama performed by a group of teenage girls living together in a therapeutic setting. The target of the intervention was a girl whom they knew to be explosive and unpredictable. As the girls gathered beforehand, the knowledge that this disruptive, emotionally uncontained girl was about to enter the room created an air of intensity. The leader quietly called the girls around him for final instructions, and he said, "Now remember, girls, whatever happens here is not about you. Don't take in anything she says. Get yourselves safely in your tent and zip up tight." I glanced around the room. There were no tents anywhere to be seen. Later, I asked the leader what he'd meant. He told me he teaches the girls to create an imaginary tent that surrounds them like a shield. There's a little porthole they can unzip so they can see out, but otherwise, they're encased in a protective shell. When the disruptor slings bile or poison around the room, it lands on the outer walls of the tent, keeping the girls safe and uninfected. I learned to create my own protective tent, and I've used it often. When anyone near me becomes highly emotional, even if they tell me I'm the cause of the upset, I can zip myself into my tent, unzip the little porthole, and look out at the ensuing drama safely. I'm inoculated against the contagion of emotion. So that's the fourth tool. Inoculate yourself. Zip yourself into your protective tent. Here's the quick recap on the four tools. Number one, rehearse so you can craft your language and prepare for a potentially volatile situation. Two, own your feedback as your own. When you speak for yourself, your feedback is irrefutable. Three, stay on point. Don't take the bait and dive down rabbit holes. Calmly stay on point. And number four, inoculate yourself by zipping yourself into your protective tent. Shauna was learning from her interactions with Marina that dealing with disruptive executives is a test for everyone around them. The tools in this podcast and in part one are meant to help you deal respectfully with any disruptor in your life, whether that person is your peer, your direct report, or your boss. Being effective with a disruptive executive and being respectful at the same time is a masterful display of the look and sound of leadership. Over the years, I've posted many podcasts about managing yourself during stressful interactions. If that topic interests you, five other podcasts you might listen to are Dealing with Emotional Responses, Delivering Tough Feedback, Discussing Difficult Behaviors, Don't Take It Personally, and Handling Defensive Behaviors. I also mentioned a podcast called Three Little Phrases with Big Impact. Each of those podcasts, and all our others, can be found on the Essential Communications website, EssentialCom.com. That's EssentialCom with two M's .com. From our homepage, click the navigation button marked Coaching Tips. That will take you to an archive of all our podcasts. When you're there, you can search the archive by categories that interest you, and one of those categories is Managing Yourself. There are over 50 tips in that category to help you think more deeply about how you manage yourself. From the website, you can also download every tip as a PDF to save for yourself or forward to others. Our podcasts are also available through iTunes. Just search for The Look and Sound of Leadership. Until next time, I'm Tom Henschel. Thanks so much for listening.